Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, weirdos. I'm scheduled for jury duty this week, and well, we never know what's going to be entailed in that kind of thing, so I'm posting some Dark Archives episodes to use until my civic duty is done. This episode is dedicated to anyone who has served on jury duty and forgot to bring something with them to read. Hopefully, you can listen to Weird Darkness until the judge calls your name.
Stories and content in Weird Darkness can be disturbing for some listeners and is intended for mature audiences only. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
That night, I was the last in and also last to bed. Being the eldest and in my late teens, I had a bit more leeway than my brothers, and I was quite keen to spend time with the girl I had just met. I entered the caravan quietly, undressed in the dark, and got into bed. Not a few moments afterwards, I heard footsteps in the caravan. I sat up, expecting to see one of my brothers. There was no one. Perhaps it was something walking on the roof. A bird, maybe, I thought, as I rolled over and tried to sleep. It happened again, though. Distinct footsteps running up through the caravan. I sat up and reached for the light. Again, there was no one there. At this point, I began to feel an icy shiver run down my spine, and the hair on the back of my neck stood up on end. Could it be that whatever was in our house back home had followed us here? At home, I had been experiencing footsteps, sighs, and poltergeist activity on and off for a while. I was pleased to go on vacation to escape from it. Had it followed us? I'm Darren Marlar, and this is Weird Darkness.
Welcome, weirdos. I'm Darren Marlar, and this is Weird Darkness. Here you'll find stories of the paranormal, supernatural, legends, lore, crime, conspiracy, mysterious, macabre, unsolved, and unexplained. If you're new here, welcome to the show. And if you're listening on the radio or on a streaming station, be sure to subscribe to the podcast too. I upload episodes 7 days a week. And if you're already a member of our weirdo family, please take a moment and invite a friend, family member, or coworker to listen in. Recommending Weird Darkness to others helps make it possible for me to keep doing the show. And while you're listening, be sure to check out WeirdDarkness.com, where you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Minds, MeWe, and more, along with the Weird Darkness Weirdos Facebook group. Coming up in this episode, it's a special Dark Archives episode of Weird Darkness, where I reach back into the archives and bring out some dark and strange stories you might not have heard yet, as they are from several years ago. Now, bolt your doors, lock your windows, turn off your lights, and come with me into this Dark Archives episode of Weird Darkness.
This happened about a couple of years ago. My mom converted the attic, and it then became my bedroom. I normally close my curtains at night because when cars drive by, I can see flashes of light reflect on my walls, and it keeps me awake. But on this night, I had forgotten to close them. I wasn't asleep. In fact, I'd just gone to bed, and I was laying with my back facing the window with my eyes open. Suddenly, the room lit up for a split second. It was as if the light had come on. I assumed it was either cars or lightning and rolled over to face my window. It happened again, but this time something bright appeared to hit my window. Shocked, I thought lightning had struck my window, so I decided to go over and check the frame. There was nothing there, no marks or anything. Confused, I looked outside and was amazed at what I saw before me. There was a large orb floating around my neighbor's garden. It appeared to vibrate, was about the size of a small ball, and it was bright white. Then it started to move extremely fast, so fast that all I could see was a white trail behind it, much like when a child waves a sparkler around, but bigger. I watched in amazement as it continued to float around and leave its trails. At times, it moved so fast it seemed to just teleport, and when it did this, the whole sky lit up like lightning. I then realized this was the light from before. After about 20 minutes or so, it finally disappeared with one last flash of light. I wasn't entirely sure what I'd seen. The next morning, my mom said that when she went outside, she had a strong urge to look up at my window, but she didn't know why. I then explained what had happened, and she believed me. I wonder if she sensed something. Ever since, I've kept my curtains open when I stay at my mom's house, but I have never seen the orb again. But if I did, I wouldn't be scared, that's for sure. They seemed so friendly, with good vibes. Nitimov Udube is a small village in the Czech Republic, known mostly as a place school kids go to camp in the summer. However, over the last few years, it has become famous for an occurrence of a poltergeist with a difference. This poltergeist is an arsonist. It all seemed to have started when a house burned down a couple of years ago in the village. The firefighters could establish no cause for the mysterious fire that gutted the building. Things got stranger, however, when rebuilding began. Over the course of 6 days, the firefighters were called out to no fewer than 45 fires at the property. According to the construction workers and the local firefighters, things would simply spontaneously combust, including articles of clothing, wooden fencing in the garden, and even non-combustible items like fiberglass being used in the rebuilding. The fires were described as cold fires, lacking heat but destructive nonetheless. Things got worse, however. The builders also reported other activity, such as tools and hammers being thrown at them by unseen forces. Initially, the activity was taken as fun, but things got very dangerous when a saw blade was thrown so hard at one worker that it stuck in the wall next to him. The workers also reported that many objects seemed to be thrown around corners, actually curving in the air and coming 90 degrees around before hitting a wall. These strange events were put down to poltergeist activity by local paranormal experts and were extensively covered in the media for a time.
There's more of this special Dark Hives episode of Weird Darkness still to come. This episode of Weird Darkness is sponsored by Honey. And I have to tell you that having Honey as a sponsor has been more beneficial to me than I could possibly have imagined because, well, I use their browser extension numerous times every week. I have saved money on all sorts of stuff that I used to pay full price for, stuff that I would need to buy anyway. If you don't already have Honey, you're missing out on free savings. It's literally free to use, it's free to download and install, and it only takes a few seconds to install it. And you'll want to install it on every browser extension that you use, so you're never without it when you're online shopping. Honey works for over 30,000 stores online, too. It ranges from tech, gaming, popular fashion brands, even food delivery, which I've not tried but I'm looking forward to. And by getting the Honey browser extension, you're not only doing yourself and your wallet a favor, but you're also doing me a favor as well, because downloading the extension at joinhoney.com/weirddarkness, you're supporting the show. Again, get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/weirddarkness. That's joinhoney.com/weirddarkness. And when you start using it, let me know what you're saving money on. joinhoney.com/weirddarkness.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Every month, one email newsletter subscriber is chosen at random to win a Weird Darkness prize pack. You could be my next winner. Sign up for the newsletter for free at WeirdDarkness.com.
I will start by giving a brief description of the house in which I grew up in, and then I will share an experience of my dad's. First of all, I could talk about this house forever. Way too much happened in my 18 years of living there to even try and explain in this very short story. As far back as I can remember, the house was always very active, very creepy, and no matter where you walked in that house, you would always feel as though you were being watched. Right from a very early age, I had experienced creepy things myself, and it seemed like everyone in the household had a story to tell. Even friends of the family who would watch the house whenever we would go away on holiday would often call up to apologize, saying they were too frightened to stay inside the house any longer. I've seen things thrown. I've heard somebody whistling a tune coming from up the stairs while I'm in the house completely alone. Any family pets that we ever had would go completely crazy for no reason whatsoever, snarling at thin air with all their fur standing on end. We had horrendous smells unexplainably just appear on the stairs, then disappear. This thing even began to speak in a woman's voice. It actually said the words Gary, which is my dad's name. Hopefully that gives you a better picture of what this house was like to live in. The story I will now share is one of my dad's personal experiences, and I'll only say that I have no reason not to believe him. My dad is a very forward-thinking, level-headed guy that will always look for a reasonable explanation first before jumping to any conclusions. At the time of this experience, I must also mention that my mom and dad were going through a divorce. I was living with my mom while my older brother and sister had already left the home. My dad was now living alone inside the house, and like any other night, he would religiously make a point of walking around the entire house just before bed, making sure that all the doors were locked and all the electric appliances were turned off at the wall. He then walked up the stairs and climbed into bed for the night. He was laying there for about 15 or 20 minutes, trying to drift off, when, out of nowhere, he heard the distinctive sound of the bedroom door pushing against the carpet, as if someone just walked into the room. He said that his eyes instantly shot wide open and all the hairs on the back of his neck stood on end. Laying there, still staring at the wall and far too scared to turn over, he was completely petrified. He then heard pressure being applied on the carpet walking from the doorway and all the way down to the foot of his bed, stopping roughly where his head was positioned. My dad is quite a tough guy, but even he admits there was no way he was going to roll over to check who or what this was. So instead, he faced the wall all night. With his covers pulled around his face, he just laid awake for the rest of the night, waiting for the sun to come through the bedroom window. Eventually, when the sun did finally come back up, he rolled over to find nobody else in the room with him. However, the bedroom door was still left wide open, and to this day he simply has no explanation for what happened that night, or even who was in that room with him. All he knows is that with 100% certainty, it happened, and it scared the living life out of him. We had all looked forward to the family holiday for quite some time. 2 weeks in a large rented mobile home on a picturesque camping site in Brittany, located right on the banks of a river and also by a quality beach. My brothers had prepared their windsurfers, and now all we needed was good weather for a brilliant vacation. The campsite was really nice. It was set in a lush forest that sloped down to a river. The river was filled with crystal clear, greenish water at high tide, and at low tide, the wet, rippled sand and occasional rocks lay revealed in the sun, while just a small trickle of water ran through the middle of where the river had been. It was ideal for windsurfing and also for a spot of evening or morning fishing. Just a few hundred meters downstream, the river opened into the ocean and a magnificent white sandy beach. The mobile home was well equipped and large. My parents had the back bedroom, my brothers had another bedroom, and me, well, I used the makeup bed in the dining area. There were lots of other teenagers on the site. We would play ping pong and drink cold Oranginas at night while listening to the music on the jukebox. There was a little girl there that I liked too. All seemed set for a great vacation. Awakening that first morning, we set about a breakfast of French baguette, ham, and cheese. The sun was shining, and we were all keen to get to the beach just as soon as possible. "Gosh, someone was walking up and down the caravan a lot last night," said my dad. "Who was it?" We all looked at each other quizzically, but none of us could recall anything but sleeping. We dismissed his comment, and off we went to the beach for a day of sea, sand, and surf. That night, I was the last in and also last to bed. Being the eldest and in my late teens, I had a bit more leeway than my brothers, and I was quite keen to spend time with the girl I'd just met. I entered the caravan quietly, undressed in the dark, and got into bed. Not a few moments afterwards, I heard footsteps in the caravan. I sat up expecting to see one of my brothers. There was no one. Perhaps it was something walking on the roof. A bird, maybe, I thought, as I rolled over and tried to sleep. It happened again, though. Distinct footsteps running up through the caravan. I sat up and reached for the light. Again, there was no one there. At this point, I began to feel an icy shiver run down my spine, and the hair on the back of my neck stood up on end. Could it be that whatever was in our house back home had followed us here? At home, I'd been experiencing footsteps, sighs, and poltergeist activity on and off for a while. I was pleased to go on vacation to escape from it. Had it followed us? It took me a while to sleep that night. I kept hearing the distinct noise of footsteps running up and down the caravan. Or was it something on the roof? I couldn't be sure, I decided, but I knew deep down inside that I could sense something unpleasant in that caravan. The next morning, after a disturbed sleep, I told my dad, and he nodded. He thought he had heard footsteps that night, too. My brothers had as well. Dad went out to inspect the roof. There were no tree branches or anything obvious to make any such noise. No way for anything to jump onto the roof. There was a growing, unspoken air of trepidation among us that morning. For the next several nights, we heard nothing. However, periodically during the vacation, we all heard, quite plainly, footsteps running through the caravan. One night, we thought we also saw a dark shadow. None of us discussed the matter for fear of encouraging whatever this activity was until we were on our way home. I had spent most nights clutching a flashlight and burrowed down in my sleeping bag. We never saw anything other than that shadow, nor did we hear anything else, just those running footsteps. On the nights we heard them, they would repeat over and over again. A haunted caravan? Perhaps. We never really did get to the bottom of the mystery, but even now, when we discuss holidays or the strange events that happen to us, the strange footsteps and dark shadows are always raised by one of us. When I was 7, I lived with my grandmother in Dallas, Oregon. I went to bed after a late night at about 9 o'clock. I slept well through the whole night, and my experience happened when I woke up in the morning. I opened my eyes and looked over to the side of my bed to see an entity I can only describe to you as something like a devil, or half of one, anyway. When I was young, I could never see a full ghost or spiritual entity, but I could see its features well. This demonic entity's head looked like a purple and black donkey with giant yellow teeth that were sharp. It was looking out of the window for a few seconds before it realized that I was looking at it. Then it turned its head and stared me down, smiling this horrid smile at me that made it look like it was out of Looney Tunes. It leaned in on me too, so that it was just 3 inches from my face, and I could feel the weight on my body. At last, I closed my eyes, and when I reopened them, the head deformed and disappeared like mist. When I usually see spirits or something of the manner like mist, is usually how I see them disappear. I was 7. And I was so scared stupid, I didn't tell anyone until now. And I'm almost 18. I just recently told someone in my close family. That night, I didn't even tell my grandmother because I knew she wouldn't believe me. It was so scary to me that I've had it imprinted in my brain for 10 years. the family that went fishing for the day in Georgia discovered something quite scary about a selfie that their daughter had taken that morning. In the background of Jessica Ogletree's daughter's selfie is her brother, who had just caught a big fish, and someone else. Someone who wasn't actually there that day at all. Is this a ghost? The family seems fairly laid back about the discovery, with Jessica saying, "I personally think it's pretty cool because today is Colton's birthday and he caught the biggest fish he's ever caught. It looks like the man is happy for him." If you look at the image, it's actually quite scary looking. The face appears skeletal, and it's wearing a baseball cap. The grin that makes it seem happy is the smile of a skull, in my opinion. Creepy. For much of my life, I worked as a barber at a military base in California. When I first started at Victorville, I noticed the frame on my mirror was broken. I thought nothing of it at first, as there were several hairdressers, and sometimes we would grab the nearest mirror on our way to wax a client, or a client in general would use one. So I assumed someone had accidentally broken it. No sweat. I was issued another one, but within a week the same thing happened. My boss questioned me in a joking manner as to how I kept breaking the frames. I joked back that at least it wasn't the mirror, and so no bad luck times 14, but in all seriousness, I had not caused it. This prompted me to bring in my own mirror because I had a suspicion that this wasn't caused by any of the girls. I don't know why, I just had the thought that there was something other happening. While alone in a salon late one night, I spoke out loud telling any presence responsible for the breaking of mirror frames that I acknowledged them and to please leave my mirror alone. Thankfully, the frame stayed intact, and I have it to this day. A few months later, one of us had to go outside of the salon to what we called the cage in customer service. It was located past the food court into the main shopping area at the back of the store. Employees were instructed to round the side of the counter where there was a makeshift window with no glass but a metal grate with an opening at the bottom for passing money, but the metal was all see-through. To the left of this were offices, and all one had to do was lean back a bit to see into one of them and speak to whomever was seated at the desk. On this particular day, I went to the cage for change. The lady behind the counter was busy, and as I didn't have a client at the time, I relaxed and waited my turn, enjoying the downtime. For no particular reason, I found myself passing the time by looking across from me at the framed awards hanging on the wall. Out of nowhere, I watched one of the awards come out from its place as if someone were standing there taking it down. It was suspended around a half second and then came out from the wall about a foot in slow motion and dropped to the floor. I stood there in shock while my mind tried to process what I know for darn sure my eyes witnessed. At that moment, it was like I had panoramic vision and was hyper-alert as I took in the entire scene around this happening. Customers at the counter didn't seem to notice, and the gal working behind the counter didn't either, although she bent down near it to retrieve a slip of paper she dropped. She even walked around and passed the award lying on the floor. Surely they could hear the crash. They seemed oblivious. I don't know what came over me, but I leaned back and looked into the office of a girl I barely knew but spoke to in passing. She looked at me, and the look on my face must have prompted something in her to give me her undivided attention. She said hello, and I reciprocated and was so shaken that I blurted out, Trish, I just watched an award come off the wall in slow motion and it didn't look natural. She smiled. It told me that that was blank and blank who had died in a house fire long before the base was built. I stood in her doorway as she unfolded the history on blank and blank and many other spirits residing there. Trish hosted a retirement party for one of the girls who worked there. She and several other office employees hired a psychic medium for said party. The psychic told them that blank and blank were mother and daughter who were trapped in a prairie-type fire in the 50s. They waited on the husband/father to come save them, but he was at work. I told her about the mirrors and she just smiled and said they're letting you know they're around. She also told me that the salon had been the old barracks back in the early 60s and a soldier had hung himself there. Also, in the loading dock area was such a menacing presence, the cart boy refused to put carts away or retrieve them. Trish told me another story about an office manager's encounter. When closing at night, the main lights had to be shut off at the back of the store. The manager shut down everything and made her way to the front of the store via emergency lighting that stayed on to lock up an exit. As she got to the exit, all the lights came back on. This spooked her, I was told, but she found the courage to go back through the store and shut them down again. From that day forward, I acknowledged all the spirits, asking them to please leave mirrors, lights, and even doors alone, because my boss, who was very religious, would not understand or believe, and I needed to keep my job. They respected me, for which I am thankful.
Keep listening. There's more of this special Darkhives episode of Weird Darkness on the way. Hey, Weirdos! Weird Darkness has been nominated for a podcast award in 4 categories this year: Storyteller Drama, Society and Culture, True Crime, and the coveted People's Choice category. You can vote for Weird Darkness in all 4 categories at the same time by visiting podcastawards.com. Once you sign up to vote, you'll find all 4 categories in the left-hand column. People's Choice at the very top, and then bottom left-hand column for the remaining 3 when you scroll down. While it's still on your mind right now, please, go vote. Only you, my weirdo family, can help Weird Darkness become an award-winning podcast this year. Go to podcastawards.com and vote for Weird Darkness in the Storyteller Drama category, the Society and Culture category, the True Crime category, and the People's Choice category. And thank you, weirdo family, for nominating and voting for Weird Darkness.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Strange creatures, gruesome murders, oozing organisms, unfathomable abductions, enigmatic expeditions, an age-old malevolence, and much more. Author J.C. Moore delivers a collection of dark horror tales that are both chilling and poignant. Dark Intrigues Book 1 is filled with horror fiction for fans of short story anthologies, horror collections, ghost fiction, suspense, possession, and more. Dark Intrigues Book 1 by J.C. Moore, available on Kindle or as an audiobook narrated by Darren Marlar. Find Dark Intrigues Book 1 on the audiobooks page at WeirdDarkness.com. That's WeirdDarkness.com/audiobooks.
If you like Weird Darkness, you'll want to also listen to some of the free audiobooks I've narrated, with titles by Stephen King, H.P. Lovecraft, Charles Dickens, and more. Check out all the audiobooks I've narrated on the audiobooks page at WeirdDarkness.com.
The sundial in our garden has been telling the time for over 200 years. It is accurate during the summer, and in the winter months can be adjusted slightly to be more or less accurate. it's only one of several sundials we own, these timepieces being an interest of mine. This is the story of the strangest sundial I have ever inspected. A sundial with just one purpose, a dial of death. Solar clocks come in many types. The technology is ancient, and time has been told using the shadow of the sun for thousands of years across all cultures. Starting with a simple stick fastened upright in the ground, to a bronze muzzle loading noon gun fired with the sunlight from a lens, all types of sundials have been tried. I've seen hundreds of types myself, and also invented a few. This story concerns a single, and I believe a unique, example built into the wall of a remote English castle, and as far as I know, and hope, only ever documented here in this text. This sundial is so unique and so dastardly in its properties, I call it the Sundial of Death. In my work as a specialist restorer, I have had the chance to visit and see some amazing places, often privately owned palaces and stately homes unavailable for public inspection. Restoring and installing sundials has been a part of this work, and you yourself have quite likely seen various of the dials I've worked on in palace gardens, parks, and castles around the UK and Europe. Some years before I retired, I was invited to estimate for some work on 5 large and historic chandeliers hanging in the Great Hall of a privately owned castle, which was used at the time as a fine summer residence by an important and aristocratic family. The chandeliers were fitted on chains, run to the medieval oak roof beams, the chains themselves being covered with fine brocade covers, ball fringed at the base. In order to lower these heavy lights when first fitted, the chains were terminated at the beams with a wire cable running through wheeled blocks into the upper walls, with each fastened to its own hand winch, situated high in a corner tower. The winch room was far above the moat and was approached by a spiral staircase of many age-worn stone steps within the tower. Next to the winch room, which had obviously been used as a small chamber before the chandeliers were fitted in the 17th century, was another smaller room, with the unusual feature of an oak ceiling decoratively studded with short iron spikes. The walls of the room were inlaid with 8 iron rods running from the floor to the ceiling and set into the walls, and a large, strong ring bolt was fastened in a deep depression in the floor. I started to winch down the chandeliers, one by one. The cables were in good condition, as they had been treated with Rangoon oil as a preservative against rust, and then greased to run well over the blocks and winch drums. All went well until the 4th cable suddenly jammed. The cables had all been carefully marked with paint so that the base of the chandeliers, when lowered down, would stop short of touching the stone floor of the Great Hall. The 4th cable had jammed at around 11 feet from the floor, much too high to remove the chandelier safely from the cable. It occurred to me that the cable had jammed just a few feet above the winch where it traveled vertically down the drum through a metal tube. Making my way further up the stairs, I came to another chamber above. Inside this room, the 5 cables were neatly run close to the wall from the winches. Entering the room I was now in through 5 holes carefully drilled through the stone floor from the room below. They ran up and over iron-rimmed wooden wheels mounted on a heavy shaft fastened into the ceiling. Before making their way down to the Great Hall roof beams through a wooden chute affair, a 6th cable, but made from ancient hemp rope, was piled in the corner, which I took to be a bell rope, and 4 long iron shafts also ran through holes in the floor up towards the ceiling. They were thick with years of rust. I easily cleared the jam on the steel cable. A bird had built nests over the years, and these had caused the jam, the many twigs being pulled into the wheel above and jamming the cable between the wheels and the ceiling. To reach the nest, I had pulled myself up to the wheel by using one of the iron rods to climb the wall. I realized that the rod moved down a little as I climbed, and this caught my interest. Getting down and now covered in rust and bird's nest, I cleaned myself down and had a closer look at the rods as I did so. Each one had a rectangular hole through it, and a steel wedge was pushed through the hole about half an inch from the floor. Another point had caught my interest above the wheel beam. A strong pulley system was bolted to a metal plate on the ceiling, and a large tie-off hook was screwed to the wall several feet below. However, I was here to remove 5 chandeliers, not inspect the building, and was expected to have them down within a few hours, so I continued with my job. A few weeks later, I returned with an assistant to replace the newly restored lights. The gilded bronze glowed, and the Duke was happy with the results of our labor. We had taken the opportunity to wire the chandeliers for electricity, a time and money saver for the family, as they had only used the chandeliers at great risk with real candles on very special occasions. Now they would be both safe for insurance purposes and also enjoy the convenience of modern light switches, and the chandeliers could be lit at will. With the new electrical system installed in the roof and lights connected and tested, we proceeded to lift the chandeliers into place. No problem. Job done, and the great hall a blaze of light. I remained at the winch room, waiting for my assistant to call me on our personal radios to tell me everything was now well below. While I waited, my attention was taken by a large glass lens set into the outside wall, in which was now projecting a strong beam across the room to the wall opposite. It struck me that the lens must have a focal point where the light was concentrated most. So I traced it along, just feeling the heat of the beam on the back of my hand. Within a few seconds, I had severely burnt my hand. The light was very intense, exactly below the pulley system above. Wrapping my hand in a tissue soaked in spittle, I had a closer look at the pulley. It was quite obviously intended to be used with the hemp rope. I radioed to Ben below in the great hall and asked him to bring up a stepladder. About 10 minutes later, he appeared, out of breath, as carrying the long ladder up the narrow spiral stairs had been quite a struggle. Taking the coil of rotting hemp rope, I climbed the ladder and fed one end through the pulley, handing it down to Ben below and instructing him to pull it tight. Immediately, gray wisps of smoke rose from the rope as the tinder dry surface started to be singed. This was looking interesting. As Ben had pulled the rope tight, a knocking sound had come from the room below, accompanied by a quiet metallic clanging from the floor of the room we were in. Ben pulled it again as I knelt looking closely at a rod and its wedge. The rod had raised a little in the floor, and the wedge was now loose. Intrigued by this, we pulled the rope tight, and removing the wedges from each rod, slowly let the rope out. We had only released a foot or two when there was a terribly loud crash from the room below, and the rods had shot down, disappearing into the floor of the room we were in. We quickly descended to the room below, and an amazing sight met our eyes. The room was in a cloud of thick, rising dust, and the heavy oak ceiling could just be seen through it at floor level, the iron spikes driven into the floor of the tiny chamber. As the dust cleared, we could see that the rotten rope had parted. It was all that had been holding the ceiling up in the lower room after the wedges were removed. The upper side of the oak ceiling had lead ingots attached, presumably to increase its already great weight. Should either of us have been down there when the rope gave way, we would have been instantly impaled on the iron spikes, crushed against the gray stone floor. I quickly understood what we had discovered there. The small room was a torture chamber of unique design and most devious construction. a prisoner would have been chained to the floor on his or her back, facing up to the evil spikes above, and no doubt having no idea of their fate or when it would come as they gazed at the spikes above. The torturer, after chaining their victim, would fully tighten the rope above and then remove the steel wedges from the rods, leaving the full weight of the ceiling on the rope. It might be just hours, or maybe days, or weeks before the rope was burned through by the condensed beam of the lens in the wall, depending on the time of year and weather conditions. It would need bright sun to bring a quick death. A weak winter sun might take a month or more to burn through and release the heavy ceiling, letting it fall 12 feet straight down onto the poor, terrified body watching up below in horror. Would it be better to die from terror and starvation slowly, but with hope of release, or quickly as the ceiling fell in its crushing descent, we wondered? We brought a heavy and strong terralene halyard with us on our next visit and hoisted the ceiling safely back into place, carefully inserting the wedges again and making them completely safe with screwed bolts drilled through the small ends. I later inspected the outside wall by abseiling on ropes down the tower from the roof and discovered that a vertical sundial had at some time been marked into the wall. Above where the gnomon or shadow bar had once been was the bell-shaped hole in which the ancient lens was fitted. I wondered at the pure cunning of the ingenious but sadistic person who, many hundreds of years ago, had contrived the sundial-operated torture room, a cruel and strangely sophisticated device, the sundial of death. I took measurements, made drawings, and photographed the details of the room and its devious mechanism, and scaled plans of the sundial and its evil lens. I have promised to release these details and the location, but only when the time is right, and most possibly by young Ben, as he should survive me by many years. Lord X is rather concerned that his home will become the focus of the interested and curious, especially as he later told us of the haunting of the castle and tower room, the tales of which have been a tradition for many years in his family, so my promise to him remains. But one day, the truth will come out, and the dial of death will become a unique note in the dreadful history of torture within the pleasant counties of England.
Thanks for listening to this special Dark Hives episode of Weird Darkness. If you like the show, please share it with someone you know who loves the paranormal or strange stories, true crime, monsters, or unsolved mysteries like you do. And if you've not done so already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. I upload episodes 7 days a week. If you want to reach out to me, you can email me anytime with your questions or comments at darren@weirddarkness.com. That's D-A-R-R-E-N. And you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Minds, MeWe, and you can join the Weirdos Facebook group on the Contact Social page at weirddarkness.com. While on the website, if you have a true paranormal or creepy tale to tell, click on Tell Your Story to email it to me. Or tell your story by phone by calling the Dark Line toll-free at 1-877-277-5944. That's 1-877-277-5944. All stories in Weird Darkness are purported to be true unless stated otherwise, and you can find source links or links to the authors in the show notes. Weird Darkness is a production of Marler House Productions. Copyright Weird Darkness 2021. I'm Darren Marler. Thanks for joining me in this special Dark Hives episode of Weird Darkness. If you or someone you know struggles with depression or dark thoughts, I'd like to recommend the Hope in the Darkness page at WeirdDarkness.com. There, I've gathered resources to help fight depression with the 7 Cups app, connecting you with people who've also struggled with depression and are there to lift you up, even professional listeners there to listen at all hours of the day. If you're having dark thoughts of harming yourself or worse, there's the Suicide Prevention Lifeline that you can either call or chat online with anytime, 24/7. The folks at ifred.org are doing what they can with research and education on depression to give us the tools we need to fight against it in the days ahead. And if you feel a lack of hope in your life, take the 30-Day Global Hope Challenge. It's absolutely free. You can do it alone or with a friend or with a group. And after 30 days, you'll have a better understanding of how to build hope in your own life and in the life of others. You can find all of this on the Hope in the Darkness page at WeirdDarkness.com. Strange creatures, gruesome murders, oozing organisms, unfathomable abductions, enigmatic expeditions, an age-old malevolence, and much more. Author J.C. Moore delivers a collection of dark horror tales that are both chilling and poignant. Dark Intrigues Book 1 is filled with horror fiction for fans of short story anthologies, horror collections, ghost fiction, suspense, possession, and more. Dark Intrigues Book 1 by J.C. Moore, available on Kindle or as an audiobook narrated by Darren Marlar. Find Dark Intrigues Book 1 on the audiobooks page at WeirdDarkness.com. That's WeirdDarkness.com/audiobooks.